As we begin the message this morning, I want to encourage you to go back and read what the scripture says before I pick it up and after I leave it, because you'll get the whole story. Today you're only getting part of the story. But that's one of the problems, that when we begin to start talking, we get this passage that we're given, and so we begin our study there. And we don't always, you are not always fortunate enough to know what happened in the sentences before. For example, today I'm starting my message with, earlier, Joshua was one of the two faithful witnesses who spied God's Old Testament gift of the land of promise. But the other 10 spies refused to receive God's gift by refusing to cross the River Jordan. And you don't always know what happened before, so go back and pick up that, and I'll give you the reference here in a few minutes. You see, the 10 spies refused to accept God's gift by their rejection of not following God's instructions and seeing the world as God wanted them to see it. The Israelites had remained in the wilderness for another 40 years after they originally left Egypt. And then after Moses' death, Joshua became the leader of Israel. And he took them across the river into the land that God had promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob hundreds of years earlier. Now, to help you understand this, Jericho was a city-state located on the eastern province of the Promised Land. It's believed that this city was built about 8,000 years before the Common Era. In other words, 8,000 years before today's date. There's some discussion, and even recently in some of the readings I've done, Jericho may have been the first human city. However, it had to go. It had to go because it had become a worship center of numerous false gods. And God said, this city has to go. Now, our biblical text for today is Joshua 5, verse 13, and through chapter 6, verse 20. If you have your Bibles with you, I encourage you to open them. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. If not, we have it on the overhead. Scripture tells us, now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, are you for us or for our enemy? Neither, he replied, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I now come. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does my Lord have for his servant? The commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Now, the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out. And no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. And when you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout, and then the walls of the city will collapse, and the army will go up, everyone straight in. So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it. And he ordered the army, advance, march around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the ark of the Lord. When Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark. All this time the trumpets were sounding. But Joshua had commanded the army, do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout. So he had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once, and then the army retired to camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests took the ark of the Lord. The seven priests carrying the seven trumpets went forward, marching before the ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the ark of the Lord, while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city seven times in the same manner, except that on that day, they circled the city seven times. The seventh time around, when the priests sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, shout, for the Lord has given you the city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. But keep away from the devoted things so that you do not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable for destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury. When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the walls collapsed. So everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. Israel had cut off and had encircled the city prior to their marching around it. They had isolated it from any possible escape. And even before the city was to fall, God had already declared that he had given Jericho into the hands of the Israel, including its king and its valiant warriors. God was saying, I am offering you a gift, but you have to accept it. He told the Israelites, I have given you the land. Just go in and possess it. He then goes on to give a full disclosure. There's a catch. There's a catch. To possess it, you need to uproot the squatters living there. But the promised land is worth the fight. But the people had to accept the gift by doing what needed to be done. Now, this has application to us today because the promise that God has already given us everything that we need for victory. That victory is ours. But hell will erect some Jericho walls around it to keep us from having it. Israel is a picture of our walk with Jesus. The Exodus and the Israelites taking possession of the land. We also have walked through the Red Sea of salvation. For they drank from the rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ, we're told in 1 Corinthians 10:4. We've also passed through the wilderness of temptation and the Mount Sinai of consecration. Then we face the battles of sanctification or holy life as another battle of life. And today we're going to call this message, These Walls Shall Come Down. Now, a question is asked is, why is Jericho so important? What was the biggest stumbling block? 40 years before this story, God had offered the people of Israel a gift. However, they failed to accept that gift, which caused them to fail. To fail spiritually. For 40 years, Jericho stood as the symbol of defeat. 603,548 fighting men died in the desert as wanderers because of their disbelief. The city of Jericho was an Achilles heel to the Israelites. It was their nemesis. It was their Waterloo. It was their stumbling block. To receive the gift and to get back where God wanted them to be, they needed to receive God's gift to overcome their spiritual challenge. And I'm asking you this morning, are you off course? You can get back on it. Let's step into the situation room for a minute and evaluate what was going on. As I mentioned a few moments ago, Jericho was one of, if not the oldest city on earth. At the time of our story, the city was already 2,000 years old. It was a symbol of military might. The Canaanites thought that Jericho was invincible. Their city walls were 32 feet high. They were 20 feet thick. It was the strongest, most fortified city in Palestine. Its eastern location was most important. It was the key. It was the gateway to the entire region. And if it was defeated, all the other cities would be a downhill fight. If it was captured, the land would be split in two. The northern and the southern kingdoms would be unable to unite. What is the symbolism of this? It represented the opposition of the world and the devil to the people of God. The taking of Jericho required the people to attempt the impossible. They had to step into the supernatural. They had to accept the gift of God and become fellow workers with God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 6:1. To accept God's gift, it took faith. It took boldness. It took obedience. President John F. Kennedy learned something about commitment from Frank O'Connor, an Irish writer. The Irishman told of his childhood days when he and his friends would wander through the countryside of their homeland. When they arrived at an orchard with the wall too high to climb over, they would toss their hats over the wall so that they had no choice but to figure out a way to get over that wall. JFK tossed the hat of America over the wall when he challenged us to land a man on the moon. God also wants us to rise to the challenge that is set before each of us. My question to you this morning is, what is your Jericho? Symbolically, Jericho represents the strongholds that all of us have in our lives and the battles which spread out around us. Now, these battles may include things like your children. Some of you are struggling right now because you're not getting along with one of your children. It feels like every conversation ends in a fight, or you're not speaking to them at all. Some of you go to bed at night worried because you do not know where your children are or what they're doing. Some of you are living with guilt and pain. You might be saying something like, if I had been a better parent, my son or daughter would not have the problems they do, or they would be walking with God. Your kids are in trouble a lot at school and elsewhere. It's a constant headache. Your children are your Jericho. or your Jericho might be finances. It seems like you can never get ahead. The bills keep popping up. It is a big worry whether you have enough money to last to the end of the month. Shortage of money also means you cannot do the things that you want to do. You're unable to do things other people are able to do. It's depressing. It's frustrating. And it's sometimes embarrassing. Let's throw a little humor in here. We're getting kind of serious. A six-year-old boy calling his mother from his friend's house confessed that he had broken the lamp when he threw a football in their living room. "But Mom," he said, trying to brighten up the conversation at least a little bit, "you don't have to worry about buying another one. Charlie's mom says it was irreplaceable." Others see their health problems as the wall which mount up to the sky. Some of you have long-standing or insurmountable illness. You have prayed. You have recited scripture. You have fasted. But the illness is still there. It stands between us and freedom. It stands between us and abundance. It stands between us and prosperity. It defies us. It laughs at us. And it whispers that it has defeated us in the past, and it will always defeat us in the future. And John, just for you, I threw this example in. Like the Borg said on Star Trek, resistance is futile. You cannot see any way in the natural that you can overcome it. It is our Waterloo. It is our Jericho. Another wall of your Jericho may be your worry about salvation of your loved ones. Some of you have been a Christian for many years. You've witnessed to your family members many, many times. However, they have rejected the gospel. They've asked you to quit talking to them about it. And although you have prayed for them 1,000 times, they seem to feel no desire, no conviction, no interest. And some of you are in the place where you believe that they will never be saved. You quit praying for them because you believe your prayers are having no effect. You hear other people give wonderful testimonies about their family being saved, and you wonder if God does not love you as much as them. Your families are your Jericho. Other Jerichos could be your marriage relationship, childlessness, past hurts, rejections, depressions, disabilities, fear of old age. The list goes on. What is important is to identify what your Jericho is. And on the handout today in the worship folder, there's a spot down there asking the question, what is your Jericho? And think about it this coming week. Identify some of the fears that you have in your life, some of the struggles that you are trying to overcome. And there are different methods of conquest. First, there's the normal method. Now, back in 73 and 74 of the Common Era, you know, that just means 73 or 74 years after the birth of Jesus, 40 years after his death, the Jews were camped out on top of a large hilltop in Israel. It's known as Masada. The Roman army was attempting to capture the people, and the terrain made it difficult to reach the top of the mountain because there was one narrow pathway which was not even wide enough for two people to climb together. And the Romans built a siege ramp against the western face of that plateau, moving thousands of tons of stone and beaten earth. And after the ramp was completed, a great siege tower with a battering ram was constructed and laboriously moved up that completed ramp. Only two all of the people had died. Now, the other method of conquest is God's method, faith. Hebrews 11:30 tells us, by faith the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. There is a universal relationship between faith and deliverance. When faith is low, more bondage takes hold. But as faith raises, increasing deliverance results. But God put the nation of Israel on a faith-building promise. The impossible had to become possible. And so as they marched around the city, they observed what had intimidated them before when Moses sent the 12 spies into the land. Where can we go? Our brothers have made us lose heart. They said, had gone up with him and said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. The Israelites, a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we lies. They saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And we looked the same to them. Numbers 13 tells us. But now, after 40 years of God's is too big, David said, I can't help but defeat that giant. He is too big to miss. The thing that they had feared for so long, the thing that they had avoided, the thing they had dreaded to face, began to look different. Post festival yesterday, those that were in charge of the parade had everything worked out as to how things were going to go, who was going first, who was going second, where everything was going to be all lined up, where the grand marshal was going to be. It took time to plan it. God had already planned that for this march around Jericho. And as they gathered that first morning, seven priests carried trumpets of ram's horns in front of the Ark of the Covenant. And then the people lined up and marched behind them. In silence. The walls were double thick and completely surrounded the approximately 10 acres on the outside of the city. Imagine what the citizens of Jericho thought as that band of God's people marched around the city in total silence while the priests blew their horns. Imagine the people inside looking at him. Hey, guys, come here. Look what's happening outside our walls. There may even have been some great laughter. The second morning arrived. The same thing happened. And then again, on the third, the fourth, the fifth, and the sixth mornings. Imagine the thoughts of the people of Jericho. These Israelites are crazy. What have they been drinking? And then, the seventh morning. Oh no, not again. This is crazy. Whoa, wait. Something's different. Their parade is going around the second. No, the third. The fourth. Wait, the fifth. By golly, they're marching around for the sixth time. This is weird. They're not saying anything. The sound of the horns are driving us nuts. And then as the Israelites completed their seventh march around the walls of Jericho that day, everything changed. Wait, what are we hearing? They're screaming. The horns are getting louder. But I hear... but I hear something else. It's getting louder. I can't understand what's going on. It's getting louder and louder. The walls, the walls, the walls are crumbling. The Israelites had been offered God's gift of the land of promise. They accepted God's gift, and they had completed what was required of them. The walls were not as tall or as thick as they thought they were. The people were not as big as they remembered. The Israelites were not grasshoppers after all. That last day came. Faith filled their hearts. The walls would come down. The land would become their land. This was their day of victory over their strongholds. Now, if you've ever watched high jumpers in the Olympics, you will realize that there are two kinds of jumpers. The regular high jumpers, who jump about 7 feet. They run and they throw their back up over the bar. But there's another kind of high jumper. They jump about 18 feet high. They run down their runway. They stick their pole into a hole. They put all of their weight on that pole, and it bends and rebounds, lifting them high to a level that they could never have reached on their own. Some of us have mountains, and we tried to jump over them in the flesh. And all the positive things in the world, all the New Year resolutions, and all the humbled effects have failed to get us there. What we must be and what we must have is a pole vault. Something that you can lean on. Something that takes you higher than you've ever been able to go yourself. What is that pole? It is the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. Sin and this fallen world are the law of gravity to hold us down. But the Holy Spirit introduces the law of lift. By His power, we can rise above the obstacles that hold us back. Let's let the paraclete, let's let the comforter, let's let the mighty Spirit of God empower us this morning to defeat our Jerichos. Face your strongholds. What is your Jericho? Is it health problems? Is it finances? Is it your marriage? Is it your kids? Is it unsaved loved ones? Is it fears? Is it past hurts? Look at God's perspective. Joshua 6:2 tells us, "See, I have given you Jericho into your hand." Your stronghold is no problem for God. God told Joshua that the enemy was already defeated, has also been won. Claim your gift. Accept your victory.